heartache, I've made a mess of me. The person that I've been lately ain't who I wanna be. But you stay here right beside me and watch as the storm blows through, and I need you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is Mother's Day, May 9th in the year 2021. And the song that you just heard was written and dedicated to Blake Shelton's mother. It says, "God gave me you." And I'm playing this in honor of all you mothers out there, and especially for my wife, Angie. So welcome to my show. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you scroll down, you'll see all the different ways to listen to me. I'm on every podcast venue there is. You find me on satellite, not shortwave anymore, used to be on shortwave, Global Star 3 satellite. In fact, there's a live feed. When you scroll down at the bottom of the page, armchairsurvivalist.com, you'll see the little satellite dish swinging back and forth. I think that's pretty cute. There's a live feed there. You can listen at any time what Global Star is playing. You can listen in a chat room. Listen on your phone. The number to dial is 641-741-0371. Now, that's not toll-free. So it's your dime if you call it. Now, sometimes it's off the air. And sometimes they say, well, that number's not valid. Here's another number to call. You just have to play around with it, right? Okay. So there's the majority of the ways to listen to me. Then, if you want to download the show, on the left-hand side of any of the pages at armchairsurvivalist.com, you see the little black and white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that, And that takes you to a page that says the Armchair Survivalist past shows. And there's all the past shows, theoretically. Sometimes I don't get them up on time, but they're all there. And also, there's another link that you can click on, and I'm on the pages right now. It says, listen to my show Sunday in the chat room. That's where you click to go in the chat room. Listen 24 hours a day to the most recent show. Now, that's the last show I do is on a loop, 24 hours a day until the new show. You click on that, you can either download it or listen to it. All right, we're going to get into some of the business here for Survival Enterprises, my store. SurvivalEnterprises.com, S-E, Samuel Edwards, the numeral 1, S-E1.us. Our phone number is 310-295-9686 if you want to chat. If you want to chat and just talk to my son or my wife and have them just chat along, answer all your questions, don't do it on my 800 line. So you want to call up, just find out information, 310-295-9686. If you want an order and you're going A to B, because you got to understand, this costs me money. These 800 numbers, they're not free. 800-753-1981. I've had that number for 35 years now. 800-753-1981. Before we start off with any of that stuff, I want to tell you right now. You've been hearing from me and other people that prices are going up. And unless you live under a rock somewhere, you're seeing that too. The instant the communists took over the United States government, gas prices spiked. They went up over a dollar a gallon. And they're still going up. And they're going to go up further. Food is going up. Commodities are going up. All the ingredients necessary to manufacture things are going up. And at Survival Enterprises, we're going to have to start passing it on to you guys. Our prices will be going up within the next month. We haven't had price change in 20 years, and I'm not exaggerating, because I'm doing my best to keep it down to where you guys aren't getting upset. I get upset every time I have to redo the website because the post office, UPS, FedEx, because they all went union, they're screwing people like you would not believe on cost for shipping. So, word of warning, you guys, you want to buy something, I don't care from who. I don't care if it's underwear, I don't care if it's nutritional products, I don't care if it's Mountain House food from us, I don't care what it is, from anybody, you better do it now. When I say now, this stuff changes and happens in days. In days. I've been watching it and it's just blowing my mind. So, just so you all know, we have ham radios here. They're $50 and $75 ones. We have shortwave radios, $75. We have the Mountain House buckets in. These are the Expedition. It's 5 days of food. It's $150 delivered anywhere in the United States. Or if you come into the store in Hayden on Government Way, it's only $125. So I just wanted to, that's the same thing I told you last week. This is what we got. This is the specials. You know, we also have nutritional products. I've got battle-ready swords. I've got walking sticks. I've got knives. I've got all kinds of oddball crap. I'm downsizing my house. I got half my library here. All kinds of DVDs, clothes, boots. I don't know. I got so much stuff. It's like people think I'm a yard sale or something. I'm not. It just, I got a lot of crap at home, and I got the space here. I'm thinking, what the hell? I'll just put it out. All right, now we're going to get into the economy, and this is going to drive it home exactly what I'm talking to you about when I said that prices are going up. This is real. Corn is at the highest it's ever been, $7 a bushel. Well, not ever been. It's for the past 7 years, $7 a bushel. $7 a bushel. I can't believe that. I remember when it was like $1.99, $1.85, and that's just corn. Okay. We have a vegetable stand right down the street here. They always have corn cheaper than anybody in town. 50 cents an ear? I remember when it was 10 for a dollar, and that wasn't too far long ago. Lumber is still going up. Now, here's the bad thing about the increase in the price on lumber. It could be fraud. It could be phony, just like the toilet paper shortage was phony. But the problem is it's a commodity, so it's traded on the market. So it's going up. If you're going to build a house from last year at this time to right now, it's twice as expensive. Twice as expensive. The price of everything that makes everything is surging right now. And this is a domino effect. And I could see that this was going to happen at the beginning of this pandemic. I could see it was going to happen because nobody can work. That means nobody could manufacture. That means nobody could ship. That means nobody was mining or any of this stuff. And now it's coming home to roost. And now we're seeing it. In fact, our trade deficit is at the highest it's ever been. $74 billion in March. That means we're importing more, $74 billion more than we're exporting. Why? Because the communists in charge of the United States told us all not to work. They wouldn't allow people to work. So we're not producing anything. Every single day, you hear about how there's a problem finding workers. Can't find workers. Millions are unemployed. Millions. Just driving down Government Way. Okay, in Coeur d'Alene, going into Dalton Gardens, going into Hayden, heading north. There's a half dozen signs, help wanted, hiring now, hiring now. Well, let me see. Why would somebody pick a job? Why would somebody take a job that's going to pay them less than what the free money from the federal government's giving them? If you were making maybe $400 a week on unemployment, and government comes out and says, we're going to give you an extra $300 a week. Why would anyone want to stop that, to downgrade themselves for an income? And that's the trap. That's the trap, and that's the beginning trap of socialism. The government whipped out its tit, and everybody's firmly latched onto it, and they don't want to let go of it. Well, I'm telling you this, Montana came up with an idea, because Montana is having the same problem. So they said, you know what, we're canceling that extra $300 benefit. You want to be on unemployment? Then you're not getting any free money from the feds. We're not giving it out anymore. Let's see what happens then. So as of June, I think it's 27th, that ends it in Montana. You'll still get your normal unemployment, but you're not going to get the freebie stuff. This was part of the plan. This whole thing, every single aspect of it was planned out years ago. And I even talked about it. I said the names of the programs, Crimson Contagion was one of them. There's a half dozen other programs that were written out from Rockefeller Foundation, all George Soros and other people. This was all planned. This is all exactly going according to the plan. It took them over 100 years to destroy the work ethics of the Americans in the United States. And now the Americans, the majority of them, are going to sit on their butts and just suck on the government's tit as long as they can. This is embarrassing me, and it's insulting the people of the United States. And what really embarrasses me that the majority accept this and just take it. You know, it's yard sale time up here, North Idaho. So we go to yard sales, and I'm astounded. I see these cars come up, and these two people get out, and they have masks on. And it's about a 7 to 10 mile an hour breeze out there, nice and sunny, and they're wearing their masks. And I look around, out of the 20 people at this one yard sale, 10 of them are wearing masks outside. This is how stupid Americans have become. And you and I both know it's not just some of them. It's a too large a majority. And it took 100 years to train these people, starting in the public school system. Our so-called work ethic is gone. And when I die and the people in my age range die, it won't exist. It'll be a myth. Now, Dimwit had come out with a tax plan to help pay for all of this government freebie stuff. Now, there's something called the death tax, how whatever words you want to use for it, he's going to raise it up to 61%. Now, let's say that you're married and you got a lot of money and you got a lot of homes and you die and those homes are in your name. For your wife to get them, she's going to have to pay 61%. My advice to everyone is to keep your mouth shut. If you got cash, gold, silver, guns, whatever you have that's of value, don't tell anybody about it. Don't put it down in writing anywhere. See, if I die, my wife is going to just take everything anyway. But she won't have to go through a probate because it's not listed anywhere. I don't know. This whole thing is the complete destruction of the American way of life and the American dream. Now, you know, also, not just Trump did this, the CDC did this, Dimwit did this, they put a ban on renter evictions. Never mind, so a guy's got an apartment complex, he owns it, or he's paying on it, and he's got 50 people in it. None of them are paying rent, but he damn well better pay his mortgage to the bank, or the bank will take it. Well, a federal judge came out and said that is illegal. Renter Banning the eviction process is illegal, so it's overturned. So all of you people out there living for free, you think, you will be evicted. This, unto itself, is going to destroy the economy in the United States. I saw this coming as well. Everyone who is living in a house or apartment and has decided they're not going to pay rent, starting, I think, by the end of May, they're going to be able to do evictions. So any of you out there in that boat, get out. Get out now or make up your back rent. Because this is backdated to when it first started. So it's about a year, people living for free. It's not going to happen anymore. Now, we're under the category of economy, right? So everything I'm talking about here in one way or another is going to affect you, the economy. We have talked, and other people have mentioned, there's been hundreds of articles about how these smart TVs are spying on you. Well, it's way more than that. A lot of the TVs, in fact, most of them are made in China. Every 10 minutes, they download via your router, if you're on a Wi-Fi system, and you don't have security set up, they download all the data that they have been accumulating. And when I say they, I mean the smart TVs. They have been watching you. They have been listening to you. They've been monitoring the stations you're on, how often you change a station, what kind of TV shows you like, and then every periods, it could be 10 minutes, it could be an hour, they'll download that movie or that information to whatever company is paying them to do so. I get the links. You know, I'm going to have my link page, by the way, is no longer going to be as articulate as it used to be because I just don't flat have time for that. So my link page, and you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you'll find the show notes is where you're going to go. Find the date you want to find out about. You go there and I'll just have a list of all the links. And I'll have that link there. I'm astounded. You know, I have a router in my house. It has so much security on it, it's ridiculous. Nothing comes and goes in or out of that router without my permission. And the same thing for my TV, and the same thing for my phone, and the same thing for my computers. Tight, tight security. Unfortunately, people aren't that tight with their security, including infrastructure. The largest U.S. refinery pipeline they had to shut it down Friday. This is definitely going to affect you. It was a cyber attack, forced closure of the largest U.S. pipeline there is for gas, for fuel. 45% of gas and diesel consumed on the East Coast goes through this Colonial pipeline. And somebody hacked their operation system, and they had to shut it down because it was a ransomware thing. This is complacency. Infrastructure. Infrastructure is the things that help the United States run. Any form of fuel, whether it's propane, natural gas, electricity, coal, nuclear, these are infrastructure. They should have the highest levels of security, but they don't. The United States is such a laughingstock. We're the target of every country out there. All right, now we're going to get into food and health. All right, now we're in the health department, and every week I say something about this. This is as if it's genocide in the United States. It used to be a joke. Oh, they're just trying to kill us all. No, I think it's real, right, that they are definitely trying to kill as many as possible. If any other vaccination had been released into the United States and they had 50 people that died, it would be shut down. Do you know, over 4,000 people have died so far from taking an injection, one of these experimental injections. Because this is not a vaccination. This is a genetic manipulation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Over 4,000 people have died. Over 120,000 injuries have occurred following these injections. And because there are so many stupid people in the United States now, so many mentally degraded individuals that they're allowing their children, 2-year-olds, to be injected with they don't know what, and the kids are dying. The system that you call it, that is supposed to be tracking deaths and injuries and this kind of stuff, is well known for incompetence. And they are figuring that less than 1% of the actual deaths are being reported. You know, this whole COVID thing is a scam. Some guy gets shot in the head and they claim he died from complication of COVID. Well, here's the thing about people dying from the shot. Usually it doesn't kill you right away. Usually it waits. It takes a week to 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden you have a cardiac arrest. Or you go blind while you're flying your plane. Or you get so many blood clots in your body that your blood cannot pump. Or your lungs fill with blood. So they claim that about 4,000 people have died because of these injections. And yet they're not stopping them. In fact, the government's even pushing it harder. And I talked to you last year about the procedure that the governments all over the world were going to be doing. And I talked about a poll and a test that was being run at the exact moment to determine the proper buttons to push to make everyone want to go get an injection. And that's what's happening. In the UK, over 20,000 people have popped up with eye disorders, including blindness. This is happening all through Europe. You get a shot, you go blind. Las Vegas teen who got the inoculations, J&J vaccine, she had to have 3 operations to remove the blood clots that had been created in her body. And if she hadn't have, she would have died. An Orange County, I got so many of these, and I'm not going to read them all. Orange County woman died after the second dose. Denmark has shut down the J&J vaccine because the benefits do not outweigh the risk. Too many people dying, too many adverse effects. The UK government suspended AstraZeneca. Hell, the U.S. won't even use AstraZeneca because they know it kills too many people. So in fact, they're going to give them all of our AstraZeneca shots are going to India. New Jersey University is offering students up to $1,000 if they go get a shot. The government is paying, and I think it's $18 a shot. The U.S. government is paying for all of these inoculations. You're not paying for them. Your insurance isn't going to pay for them. The government's paying for them. Pfizer alone, in 3-month period, earned $3.5 billion. This is big money. This has always been big money. Vaccinations, inoculations, they have always been massive billions of dollars yearly. And then Pfizer, this is easy to see because they had to file taxes and $3.5 billion profit on the first quarter. And they expect to be making more than that for years to come. Guy named Jacques Attali. He used to work for François Mitterrand. This is a French communist. In 1981, he said something. I'm going to read it to you. The future will be about finding a way to reduce the population. We start with the old because as soon as they exceed 60 to 65 years, people live longer than they produce, and that costs society dearly. Then the weak, then the useless that do not help society because there will always be more of them, and above all, ultimately, the stupid. Euthanasia targeting these groups. Euthanasia will have to be an essential tool in our future societies in all cases. Of course, we will not be able to execute people or build camps. We get rid of them by making them believe that it is for their own good. Overpopulation, and mostly of the useless, is something that is too costly economically. Socially, too. It's also much better when human machine comes to an abrupt standstill than when it gradually deteriorates. Neither will we be able to test millions upon millions of people for their intelligence. We'll find or cause something, maybe a pandemic targeting certain people, a real economic crisis or not, a virus affecting the old or the fat. It doesn't matter. The weak will succumb to it. The fearful and stupid will believe in it and seek treatment. We'll have made sure the treatment is in place, treatment that will be the solution. The selection of idiots then takes care of itself. You go to the slaughter by yourself. And Adolf Hitler once said, men are like sheep, easily led even to the slaughter. And that's exactly what people are doing all over the world. Not everyone. I'm not going to. Neither is my wife, neither is my son, neither are thousands of other people that have come into my store and said, no way in hell am I going to take any of those shots. Now, let me tell you how bad it's getting now. Because there are, and you can see this on the news every day, there are dissenters. There are people who refuse to get the shot. We're talking in the 80 percentile. the government and the medical community is concerned. There's a doctor named Joseph Merkula. I was on his network for many years on the radio. I've worked with him. I've talked with him. He is the most articulate researcher on health that I have ever seen in my life. And if you look at all of the data that's been put out all over the internet on how bad vaccinations are, and in fact, the whole COVID fraud, he's the one that started about 60% of it. And he has all the proof and all the backup and everything else. He has been threatened, and now he's decided to quit. He's removing all of his articles related to COVID-19, vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D, all of the things that have been proven to keep people alive. He's removing all of his articles. And let me read to you what he said. Over the past year, I've been researching and writing as much as I can help you take control of your health, as fear-mongering media and corrupt politicians have destroyed lives and livelihoods to establish global control of the world's population using the COVID-19 pandemic as their justification. Through it all, I've refused to succumb to these relentless attacks. I've been confident and willing to defend myself in the courts of law. Unfortunately, threats have now become very personal and have intensified to the point I can no longer preserve much of the information and research I've provided to you thus far. So effective immediately, much of the information on my website will be permanently removed. There's a website you go to called archive.org, or it's called the Wayback Machine. Everything ever put on the internet, you can find there. But what they're doing to him, basically, it works like this. Yeah, you got a First Amendment right. But you know what? Things happen. Accidents happen. Why, your wife could be driving to the store one day and a cement truck could smash into her and kill her and flatten her. Who knows? God forbid. Your dog could end up as sushi. Your children could, in their sleep, somebody could set fire to their house. God forbid. This is what's happening. When I saw that, I got a chill. And at that point, I said to myself, self, it's a good thing you've only got like 40 or 50 people that listen to you. Otherwise, you'd be one hell of a target. The Salk Institute, they came out with a science paper. This just came out. I just got the paper. I just got it. And basically what they're saying in this, the COVID spike protein, this is the part in COVID-19, SARS-2 COVID-19, that's causing the deadly blood clots. That's what's causing people to die of pneumonia and cardiovascular episodes. Well, it turns out that's what's in all of these vaccines, is the spike protein. And that's why people are dying after they get the vaccination. It's going to be on the website, on my show notes page. You're going to have to look at it if you care. All right, now we're going to get into the food section. Oh, I've been talking, and the Ice Age Farmer's been talking, and everybody's been talking about all of this synthetic food stuff. It was just beyond meat. Impossible Foods. These are the fake meat industry. They're going to war. I don't mind. Look, I've eaten this stuff. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind better if it was cheaper than actual beef, but it's not. And in most cases, it's more expensive. But what's happening now is because there's so many companies out there that's selling fake meat that they're going to have a price battle. Well, let's see what happens. Tyson just stepped in. They're going to start manufacturing out of plant-based stuff. I don't know what it's going to be, but they're going to start making burgers. We'll see what happens. In England, they said, okay, you know what? Why don't we all start eating worms? Not a joke. Not a joke. It's they just gave the nod to actually using mealworms as ingredients. And you can, what you do with mealworms is you can eat them straight, like the Klingons do, I guess. Or you can dry them and grind them into a powder and use them to mix in with other foods to give more protein. This whole anti-meat thing has gotten to such a degree, one of the world's top restaurants are going meat-free. It's called 11 Madison Park. They closed down at the beginning of the month. They're going to open up again in June. And they're going to be 100% meat-free and going towards all vegan. So it's plant-based dishes, everything. This is a major restaurant, 24th Street and Madison Avenue. Well, let's see if they survive. If there's enough people out there that are willing to spend $49 for a bug burger or a mushroom burger, let's see what happens with that stuff. I mean, that guy's putting his money where his mouth is. That's for darn sure. All right, now we got to get into the liberal psychosis. Now, you know that Gavin Newsom is going to be recalled. He's that communist governor in California. And our resident comedian has decided to step up and help Gavin get a new job.
Hi, I'm a job placement specialist, and I've recently landed a new high-profile client. His name's Gavin Newsom. You see, Gavin's officially being recalled, so he'll be needing another job real soon, and I'm going to help him find it. He's got a rich resume of experience, a unique skill set, and a charming smile. Is Gavin a good fit for a position you're looking to fill? Are you a real estate developer who needs an engineer to help you plan sprawling tent cities and otherwise nice locations, complete with landscapes of tarps, trash, human feces, and heroin needles? Gavin's got the know-how to make it happen. Are you a restaurant owner who's looking to create an indoor dining experience that's outdoors to help minimize your profits and treat your customers like they're idiots? Well, Gavin's already got your blueprints drawn up. Do you own a gym and you need someone to tell your members they're not allowed to work out because it's bad for their health? We got your guy. Are you an abused woman who's husband's recently left and now you're desperately looking for someone else to abuse you while telling you he's doing it for your own good? I know someone who can help with that. Does your neighborhood playground have basketball hoops with the rims still attached, yet you don't like the immense threat to human health that playing basketball poses? We've got just the man for the job. Are you a small to medium-sized country who's looking to cleanse itself of all democracy in exchange for ushering in poverty and socialism? Well, look no further. Do you run a large corporation who's a major environmental polluter, and you need someone who's willing to deny all the harm that you're knowingly doing to your own community? We've got you covered. Are you a hair gel company who's looking for a spokesperson to encourage the world to use an embarrassing amount of your product? Well, Gavin can help with that too. Are you an opioid manufacturer and you need someone without a conscience who'd be willing to sell your product to school children? He would not do that. Do you operate disaster response crews and need someone to go into disaster situations to make them worse? I know a guy who's fully qualified. If you'll be producing a remake of The Godfather and need someone to play Fredo, or you've got any other production in the works and need someone to play a character who's both dumb and untrustworthy, then give me a call. Are you the head of the DNC and you're looking for your next presidential candidate who's equally as incompetent as your most recent best pick? Got a perfect fit for the job. Are you a school system who needs a principal to make up new authoritarian rules for the kids every day and then break those same rules in front of the kids? Gavin can do that. Do you have an opening where you need someone to treat adults like they're special needs kids by telling them what they are and aren't allowed to do at all times? If your area is a little overpopulated and you're looking for a guy with a charming smile to mandate psychologically damaging living conditions so you can depopulate through deaths of despair, I know a guy that can help with that. If you've got job openings like any of these, then I've got the most qualified candidate around. Just give me a call at 1-800-GAVIN-NEEDS-A-JOB-NOW, and in no time, you'll have Gavin Newsom loyally working for you while working against humanity.
All right, we're still under the liberal psychosis, but now we're going into the Democrat perversion, because all things perverted belong to the Democrats. Disney, before we get into this, years ago, 20 years ago, I wrote on the internet under the name of The Gunrunner. And I had categories then, and one of them was sexual perversion. Walt Disney fell under that. Not him, but everyone that works for him. I talked to half a dozen people who worked at Disneyland in Southern California. And they all told me the exact same thing. Disneyland is all sexual perverts. In fact, all of the food booths are run by lesbians. And most of the characters that put suits on and bounce around the parks there are transvestites. It was really disgusting listening to these people. And then I verified it via 20 other websites saying the same thing. Disneyland is working for the disgusting creatures. You call them the one world government, the elite, I don't care what you want to call them. But what they do is they push sexual perversion on the children to make them think that it's acceptable. So now Queer Pride Month is coming up. Now remember, I have permission to use the word queer now, like we used to use 30, 40 years ago when describing a sexual pervert. So because there's too many, there's 140 something different of these perverts, and once you get all the abbreviation LGBTQTMFFDZ, it's easier to say queer. They are targeting the children with all of this homosexual Pride Month coming up. All of this rainbow colored stuff. Disney is disgusting. They even have cartoons now with the characters are homosexuals.
So the Summer Olympics are coming up, and New Zealand, in their infinite wisdom, have decided that a transvestite that is male but is pretending to be female, it can now enter. I mean, this is just astounding. This is so disgustingly evil. This is a fat man. He is ugly as sin, who's pretending to be a female now. And they have decided that he, she can enter the Olympic Games as a female. All right? As a female. Well, here's the thing. It also qualifies to enter as a male, but it's going to enter as a female. If I was a participant, and let's say in shot put, and I'm a female, and any transvestite, any creature who claims they are now a female enters, I would quit. I would stop right now. Quit. This is asinine and disgusting. In fact, Bruce Jenner, who is the original asinine and disgusting, I mean, this good God. You know, Jenner turned into a female, kind of. He tucked it under or folded it over, whatever they do. This guy is wolf ugly. If it was a female and I woke up in bed with it, I'd chew my arm off so I wouldn't wake it up so I could escape. That's what wolf ugly is. Even Bruce Jenner, well, okay, so maybe it's a different name. I don't know, whatever the hell the name is. Jenner says transgender girls, meaning transvestites, should not enter women's sports. Even it says that. I've been listening to some of the speeches and talks that the Chinese and the Iranians and the Russians are giving about military capabilities and the United States. They think we're a joke. We're a laughingstock. The United States military is a joke. The Army. And this is one of a long line of stupid that's been happening for the past 20 years. The Army has authorized female soldiers to wear ponytails. Now, they can't go any further than right at the bottom of your shoulder blades in the back. This is utterly stupid. You know what's going to happen. The men are going to say, hey, we need to be able to wear ponytails too. Let me tell you what happens in Muslim countries, which pretty much is what we have a crusade against now, apparently. If on a battlefield, and I'm a Muslim, and I see something with a ponytail, that's target number one. Not to kill, but to capture and rape. This is not just, I mean, this is real. This is what happens. This is astounding. We're a joke. We're a laughing joke. The Navy has developed an inclusion and diversity panel so that all of the sexual perverts that join the Navy can feel more understood and at ease. I'm astounded that this crap is even going on. They even have a all-gay helicopter crew. So a bunch of sexual perverts are in charge of this helicopter. And I got a picture of them proudly flying the pervert flag. This is a joke. We're screwed. If anybody decides to attack us, sit down, put your head between your knees, and kiss your ass goodbye. Now we're going into the cancel culture. Cancel, definitely cancel culture. New York City public schools officially canceled Columbus Day. They officially canceled it. And we're going to see what happens with that. And they're replacing it with some Indigenous Peoples Day and a couple other stupid things. I don't understand. But Columbus Day it was New York City. I mean, this is big. There's a lot of Italians in there. This is not going to go over well. But nothing there do they even care about. You know, every year, the veterans, a bunch of veterans, motorcycles, clubs and such, they rally at Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day. Pentagon has denied the permit because veterans on motorcycles, well, that's subversive. They denied the permit. President Trump has finally launched his new website. This is a communications platform. They're trying to expand it to be more than just a blog, to something like Twitter, Facebook, where other people can post on it. I will have the link to the actual website itself. Let me see if I can read it. It's DonaldJTrump.com. DonaldJTrump.com. Says, together we are rebuilding our nation. Not as long as the communists are in charge, but still, that's his website. You can find out a lot on there. And I'm sure he's going to be working on it and making it expand quite a bit. Now let's get into government threat. Some of the flat-out screaming communists in the House have decided to create a resolution. And they want this to be a House bill. It's government surveillance of individuals' residence. You should see the black guy that promotes this. He's pure evil. And basically, what it is, it would send health bureaucrats to individuals' residence as necessary, as the legislation states, and it has a most apt number, 6666. These people are gross and disgusting, and they actually think that what they're doing, people are going to go for it. This is how communists act. They pass all kinds of bills and laws and regulations so that you lose power and they gain it. Like the governor of Michigan. She's a disgusting communist. She's come out and said that if you don't get the injection, you will not be allowed free in Michigan. To go where you want, to see who you want, to do what you want, you're going to have to get the injection. So guess who said this? The Derek Chauvin verdict of guilty, guilty, guilty. He said, one step forward in addressing trauma of racism and persistent inequality in our nation. Now, who said that? The communist director of the CIA, William Burns. CIA, again, we're a laughingstock throughout the world. For the past, and we'll just dial this in for the past couple of years, I have had so many people contact me saying, look, the white hats are coming. They're going to arrest all the bad guys, and we're going back on a gold standard. You see, this website said that. Or the people that are saying, oh, Trump is going to pull this rabbit out of his hat, and everything will be fine, and he'll be president, and all of this. I'm like, you guys are all wrong. All of this stuff is bogus. It's what's known in the CIA as hope porn. That's what all of this stuff is. Everything that you read on the internet about how the good guys are going to win is hope porn put out by the CIA. And the purpose of that is so that the patriots and the Americans say, well, good. So I don't really need to do anything then, because the guys in the white hats are going to be doing it all. Yeah. And it works. And it's working. And it does work. And it has worked for many, many, many years. If you want to know how degraded the CIA has gone, there was a commercial to and it was played on the East Coast, and it was to try and get, I don't know what words to use for this, to try and get woke people in the CIA. Now, I only kept 10 seconds of this clip because the rest of it I was vomiting too loudly to hear it.
I can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other. I'm a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I earned my way in, and I earned my way up the ranks of this organization. I am educated, qualified, and competent, and sometimes I struggle. I struggle feeling like I could do more, be more to my two sons, and I struggle leaving the office when I feel there's so much more to do. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refused to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance.
And I'm sure I don't need to expand on that. So the category we're under now is Dimwit the Puppet, you know, the dimwit that took charge of Sadie Acres in Washington, D.C. So National Day of Prayer, this is a big deal in the White House, and presidents have always given a speech on it, and so did Dimwit. And this speech he gave on the National Day of Prayer never had the word God in it. Nowhere was the word God in it. Who or what is he going to be praying to? So the guy that heads the Department of Homeland Security, this is the communist racist named Alejandro Mayorkas, comes out. You're going to love how this transpired. Big, big photo op, CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, all this crap, went to the Mexican border. And he was showing them the holding centers for the quote-unquote children, meaning anybody under 26 who made it into the United States from Mexico or wherever. And there's like three kids in there. And he says, see, we've been reunifying these children with their parents, unlike the past administration did. Wait a minute. I got to go backwards in this and see what's going on. So I go to an article from the Department of Homeland Security that I had not read. Biden administration begins this week to reunite families separated under the prior administration. When you read that, your heartstrings are tugged and you go, oh, that's good. Get the kids back with the parents. No, that's not what they're doing. They're not getting their kids back with their parents. They're getting their parents back with the kids. Every single one of these children that was dropped over a fence, that swam across the river, that somebody brought with them and then dumped. So what these commies are doing now is they're contacting their family in Mexico, any part of South America, and saying, okay, we have a family reunification task force. So we're going to get you guys. I'm just astounded that this stuff is actually happening. So this was formed by President Dimwit. Interagency Task Force on a Reunification of Families. Now, what that means is, if the child made it over the border, here comes mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle, and this is what they're doing. As a matter of fact, Dimwit has raised the refugee cap, because we had a cap of for refugees of only 15,000 a year. He raised it to 62,500. 12 Texas counties have now declared emergencies. And this semi-humanoid creature that now stands or sits or lays or sleeps or is in a drug-induced coma in the White House, he's creating this thing called the American Families Plan. This is for the American families, of course. And he is allocating $80 billion to the Internal Revenue Service to increase tax compliance. And the idea is that they're going to generate $700 billion over the next 10 years to offset this American Families Plan. So I have said before, and I'll say it again, citizens of the United States are nothing more than bags of blood that this government sucks off of. When Dimwit was first sworn in, he swore that he was going to do everything he can to protect, quote-unquote, at least 30% of the land in the United States. Now, when a communist says protect, they usually mean control. So Interior Secretary Deb Haugland and Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, and White House Counsel on Environmental Quality, Brenda Mallory, said the administration is going to back locally led conservation projects with investments and focused policies. The president's challenge is a call to action to support locally led conservation and restoration efforts of all kinds and all over America, wherever communities wish to safeguard the lands and waters they know and love. I'll tell you this, what communities want. They want income. They want to be able to have a economic boom, not when you have a communist and his ilk in charge. They are going to protect, quote unquote. This is when they mean protect. That means you're not allowed there. They're going to create more parks and quote unquote green space in nature deprived communities. This is communist China all over again. And Dimwit also says that Kamala Harris will chair the Space Council. In other words, she's going to be in charge of the Space Force. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting. All of these things that Dimwit wants to do. Every time he opens his mouth, besides his feet, he puts all kinds of weird words in there. And most of the time, he has no idea what he's saying. So people are complaining about the money that's going to have to be created to cover and all the spending that the communists want to perform. So Biden decided that he better go out and talk to the press and clear things up.
The reason I'm bothering to do this is I keep hearing on the press, Biden's going to raise your taxes. Anybody making less than $400,000 a year will not pay a single penny in taxes. And we will not increase the deficit either.
Good. So anybody who makes under $400,000 is not going to have to pay taxes. And the deficit is not going up. It's already at 74 trillion, billion, quadrillion. Who the hell cares? All right, now we're going into the commie racism. The thing that I don't find astounding is that these people that feel they're entitled to respect, they're entitled to everything, and they can never be condemned for anything they say or do. When they say something stupid, they're astounded when people get upset. So one of the jurors in Derek Chauvin's trial just came out and said, yeah, I went to a BLM meeting. You know, these jurors were supposed to be impartial, except this guy has a picture of him wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt in a riot or protest or whatever word you want to use for Black Lives Matter. And he's astounded that Derek Chauvin's attorney has the gall to file for a new trial now. I said in the beginning, this is going to be a mistrial because in that area, all blacks are racist. So when you have some blacks say, I'm not racist, you know, I like a white folks. Well, that's a lie and we know it. Another Asian attack, another hate attack on Asian. Black guy with a hammer. Or another Asian. Oh, look, another one. And this one was a black guy with knives. So far, not one so-called hate attack on an Asian has been white or Latino. They've all been black everywhere in the United States, in the UK. They've all been black. BLM has come out with 7 demands. Now, these demands, they said, we're going to protest until they're met. Number one, convict and ban Trump from future political office. He threatens them. Of course, he would threaten any communist organization. Number two, expel Republican members of Congress who attempted to overturn the election and incited a white supremacist attack. Number three, launch a full investigation into the ties between white supremacy and the Capitol Police, law enforcement, and the military. Four, permanently ban Trump from all digital media platforms. Five, defund the police. Six, don't let the coup be used as an excuse to crack down on our movement. Don't crack down on BLM. You crack down on them whiteys out there. Seven, pass the BREATHE Act. And under that, it says, the police were born out of slave patrols. See, this is the thing that the communists are pushing now. This is something pulled out of their hat or some other orifice. Let me read to you what the number seven, pass the BREATHE Act, is. The police were born out of slave patrols. We know that's bogus. That's the new communist talking points. We can't reform an institution built upon white supremacy. We need a new radical approach to public safety and community investment. President Biden has already drawn on the BREATHE Act in his executive actions calling for racial equity screens and federal programs, investing in environmental justice at historic levels, and engaging with system-impacted communities. The BREATHE Act paints a vision of a world where black lives matter through investments in housing, education, health, and environmental justice. This is what BLM wants. Sure, come up here, Northern Idaho, and explain that to us. We'll be more than happy to help you. Or you can do like what a diner did in Louisville. This low-life gutter trash were having these screaming protests in Louisville. And they decided to go and screw with a bunch of white people having dinner on the outside. These blacks are armed. They got pistols on. They got rifles. Before they could get in the front door, because that's where they were headed, an old white guy stands up and pulls out a North American Arms 22 Derringer. This thing's the size of a pickle, and it fits in your watch pocket. It's a little tiny 22, but he pulled it out, and he kept them from going in. He didn't say a word. He didn't threaten them. He just pulled the gun out and pointed it at them. And then their leaders, semi-humanoid creature leaders, were telling them, no, let's leave these guys alone. Just go down the street. Find some other white people to screw with. Maybe that's what needs to be done. Except, don't use little tiny pistols like that. Now, George Soros, we all know who he is. And there's a magazine that he funds, that he created, and he pays them. Well, they have decided that the way to handle whiteness in the government of the United States, because it's the white people who are the evil people and it causes all the problems in the world, we need to immediately turn all of the U.S. territories into states. Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, and the Mariana Islands. Give all those people statehood. And because they're not white, well, look, all of a sudden, the whites are going to no longer be in charge of Congress whatsoever. Open Democracy is the name of the magazine. It's funded by George Soros. I got a couple good points for you guys this week in commie racism section here. Our governor here in Idaho signed a bill that bans critical race theory in the schools. You should have seen the arguments against that. Basically, the arguments were all done by National Education Association members, NEA, in other words, communists. These are teachers. They're all teachers. Every member of NEA is a teacher, and they're all communists. You should see them. The blacks were all yelling about how the poor whites are never going to learn truth and reality because you're not going to let us teach that to them. And the white liberals were whining because now my children are going to grow up racist also because you won't let us teach them in school how to not be racist, blah, 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 blah. Also, Governor Stitt of Oklahoma signed the same thing. It restricts the teaching of critical race theory. You know, the sad thing is this whole all of a sudden whitey is the bad guy thing started with Chinese communists and the Russian communists because they knew if they used the blacks, they could destroy America. Unfortunately, and I can't make excuses for them, the blacks are easily led. And the majority of them have fallen right in line with communism. They can't be responsible for anything that happens to them. They are victims, and that this is what the Democrats want. They want more victims. So the blacks are willing victims, and a victim has to have an oppressor. And the only oppressor that they can find are whites, because we founded this country. We made this country. Obviously, we used blacks and Latinos and Chinese and Russian and Italian and Greek and Irish. I mean, from all over the world. But all of these people wanted to become U.S. citizens. If the blacks were given an option right now, they'd say, no, we don't want to be no citizen. We just want the welfare. This just sounds disgusting and insulting, but this is the truth of it. They become nothing more than victims. They are willing minions working for the evil that wants to destroy the United States. So what they're trying to do is convince the white people that they're right and we're wrong. And they have to subjugate us now, and they have to oppress us. This is why the sign of insanity is someone who says, "I've been oppressed my whole life, and it's evil to do. It's evil. It's evil that I was oppressed, but it's okay that I'm going to oppress you now." No, this is all insane. And it is going to create, oh, I don't know. I've seen, you go all over the internet, you'll see words like revolution, words like civil war. You're going to see them all over the place. And they're valid, believe me, because it's going to be forced upon us. And which is sad, because not all blacks are communists. Not all blacks are stupid. They're not in any way, shape, or form. Unfortunately, if you're a black and a communist, the media wants to hear about it. All right, now we're going to talk about some home security. There's a lot of problems with burglaries nowadays, and it's more and more. It's called property crimes. People decide that you got something they want so they can take it and sell it and make some money to live on, or for drugs, or for... It doesn't matter, right? Somebody's going to try and break into your house. Depending on the area you live in, depends on what kind of security you're going to have to do. So you can't just buy a door lock and go, oh, look, I got a good door lock on there now. Nobody can come in this door. I beg to differ.
If you think your home is safe just because the door is locked, think again. Crooks can get in with little effort by trying something called lock bumping. Tonight, Action News 5's Jason Miles shows you new ways to protect yourself without breaking the bank.
It's an old locksmith's trick, getting a lot of buzz on the internet. By using a special series of cuts on a regular key, plus a tap or series of taps, thieves can bump almost any lock.
This key does not fit this lock.
This one doesn't.
There's no way that I can make it jiggle it, wiggle it, do anything to make it fit.
That's bumping.
That's bumping.
It's that easy. This Mississippi woman found out the hard way.
I heard someone at the back door, what sounded like someone throwing rocks at the door.
She was resting on her couch when a crook bumped her lock and broke in.
It's a scary thought. I mean, just to think that someone can get in your apartment that easily, or your home, or your business.
Better locks are a possible solution. Brands like Medico and Slash Primus cannot be bumped, but they are expensive, around $150 a peak.
I think that, you know, other people should know so that they can protect themselves.
Alarms and pets are good deterrents. Lighting around your house helps too.
When you try to put value on your property, that's easy enough to do, but how do you put the value on your personal safe?
Security experts say it's something we all must ask ourselves until we can close the door on lock bumping for good.
So that's just a simple thing. Now, that this bumping, I've tried it. It works on 99% of all doorknobs and deadbolts. Now, we're only talking doorknobs here, all right? We're only talking that part of your security that's necessary for your house. There is something called LockMate, LOKMATE. It's $20 to $30. This goes on the back. You close your door, lock the door, lock the deadbolt, and then you take this gizmo and you go, put it on your deadbolt. Nobody can bump it open. It's a very simple thing, but it's a necessity. So I'm going to tell you how you can beef up doors so that people aren't going to be able to open them up or kick them in. Now, the truth is that probably 75% of all burglaries, the burglar enters through an open window or door. Yes, people are that stupid. They will close the house down, say, okay, hon, let's go to the theater. Well, it's hot in the house, so let's leave the kitchen window open. Or I've actually seen people who leave the back screen door open because, well, nobody would come in our backyard. I mean, hell, the neighbors would see them, or the dog would start barking or some such thing. The problem is that they do. And you talk to the police department, they'll tell you the exact same thing. You can't do that. There's many ways you can defeat that problem. I'm talking only the doors, not how hot it is. So a sliding glass door, okay? Here's one of the tricks, is that the sliding door, along with the sliding windows, when they're closed and latched, they're hard to open. But if they're open even an inch, then they can literally pick them straight up and pull the bottom part out of the runner. They're designed that way. You want to clean your windows? Just open them an inch, lift them up, and the bottom runner will come out. It's that simple. And crooks know that. So you're going to close your door, you close the door. Now, on a screen door, You need to have a latch also on a normal screen door so somebody can't just open your screen door and come in. That is in a screen door itself. You'll have to figure that out yourself. But let's just try sliding glass door. Okay, simple thing. You don't want it to open or wiggle because if it does, well, they can lift it up. So you close the door, you latch it, you push it all the way to the side, make sure it's locked tight, and then you measure down in the rail, down in the runner, down in the bottom. Okay, then you get aluminum pipe, and you cut a piece exactly that length. Very simple. Close the door and lay that pipe down there. The door cannot be opened in any way, shape, or form. They will have to break the glass to get in. You do the same thing for your windows. Now, you don't need to use aluminum pipe. You can use PVC pipe. It's real simple. All of your windows. You want to make a latch, almost a lock that costs you almost nothing, PVC pipe, like 3/8. Doesn't matter. Now, then you take a piece of duct tape. Oh, use like a 4-inch piece. And you wrap it around the middle, and you pull it up both sides, and then you glue the sides together. You stick the sides together. So you have a flap. That flap is so you can lift that window bar in and out. All right, so now you got your windows fixed. You got them set. Your windows are set if they're closed. This, even if you don't have latches on them, they cannot get these out. They have to break the glass. Criminals don't like breaking glass. It makes noise. When a criminal's in the house, the average stay is less than 3 minutes. So you want to do everything you can to stop them from getting in and playing for 3 minutes in your house. So I just showed you how you can block your windows, or I told you how you can block the windows and your sliding glass door. Now on my glass door, I actually, and you can buy these at Home Depot or Lowe's, there is a pin that you can buy, and it's on a chain, and you screw it, the pin into the side of the glass door on the aluminum frame part, drill a hole through the glass door, the aluminum part, into the frame itself, into the runner, and then you just stick that pin in there, and nobody can open the door either. There's a few different things. There's even a latch that fits down in the runner that you can tighten, and then they can't open the door. But just the cheapest way, you make yourself PVC pipe, piece of duct tape, drop it in there, then you're fine. Now, if you have a wooden door, this is different. Wooden doors, the weakest link on the wooden door is the frame itself. When I've kicked doors in, very few of the doors get destroyed because of that. It's the frame that gets ripped out, ripped in half off the side. So what you want to do, you open your door and you look at your frame, and you'll probably have 8-penny nails going into the side of it that held it in originally. Go get yourself some 4-inch deck screws, and you put them in maybe every 6 to 12 inches. Don't torque them down a whole bunch until you see how it affects the frame of the door. Sometimes you torque these things down, and your door won't close right. But you put these 4-inch deck screws in on the top and both sides, and the threshold if you can. There's nobody going to be kicking that thing in. You can also go, and I'm only going to be using Home Depot or Lowe's to explain these things to you. You've seen many doors that have beautiful brass, or you think they're brass ornaments on them. You know, a nice flat piece of brass that looks really pretty on a thing. No, what it does, it's like a U. And it, before you put your doorknob and your lock, your deadbolt on, you slide this thing off onto the side, and it makes the door impossible to split in half. You can also beef up the jamb part of your door frame to where nobody can get a screwdriver in there. There's all of this stuff. You go to Home Depot or Lowe's, and you just poke around in their security section there. You're going to be astounded all the different little doohickeys you can buy to put on your door. The big thing, though, is you don't want a piece of crap door. I went to Habitat for Humanity, and I looked at all the excess weird stuff they had, and apparently some contractor had disassembled a whole school, and had all the doors and windows in there. And these doors are solid steel, permanently mounted on a steel frame. So I bought a dozen of them. And my front door is that. Now, if you're serious about that, you can do some little, you know, a little bit of work and make it a little bit stronger. But if you're serious, you do what I do. So I removed the front door that I had. I removed the molding. And now I looked in there, and all I had was a couple pieces of 2x4 with some shims. And that's all that had been holding up the front door. 2x4, some shims, and about 4 8-penny nails on both sides was all that was holding that door up. Well, I took out the 2x4s and put 4x4s in. I don't know if you guys can hear this, but the Veterans Motorcycle group is now passing in front of my studio. The whole place is vibrating now. Anyway, so I took out those 2x4s and I put 4x4s in on both sides. And then when I put the steel frame in, I didn't need any shims. It was tight. It was a tight fit. So the door was put in perfect. And then what I did was I insulated it. I sprayed insulating foam both sides and the top. The threshold I didn't worry about. So then I got my steel door. I got a deadbolt. I got my doorknob. Still not enough. Now, by the way, you can also go get some Class 1 security screen doors. These aren't the ones with the nylon fabric on them. These are steel, and they go in with 4-inch steel bolts. They go on hard and they stay on hard. They can still be broken into. I'm not going to tell you how, but they can. But they deter the honest criminals. Now, if you want to add more protection to your door, whether it's a front door, or a side door, or back door, there are these brackets you can buy. They're called barn door brackets. You've seen on TV where they close the barn door, then they got this big bar that drops down in front of it, and it hooks into these steel brackets so that the door can't be open. Well, you can go buy those at Home Depot, Lowe's, and they are designed to fit a 2x4. So if you're going to install them on a door, you want to install one set a foot above the deadbolt and another set a foot below the regular doorknob. And that will pretty much protect your door against somebody trying to kick it in without a lot of effort. It will take a hell of a lot of effort to come in that door now, and criminals don't want that. They want as little effort as possible. Of course, what I'm telling you is not just to protect your house against a criminal that wants to sneak in and steal your stuff. This is also to protect your house from the creatures that are now massing in Portland and rioting and all of this good stuff. They don't want work. If they're going to come into some place and they're going to do something bad, they want it easy. They want easy access. You don't want them to have easy access. So there's another thing you can do on your door. There is a product, and I bought this. I used to sell these things a long time ago. It's called a buddy bar. Very simple. There is a brace that goes under your doorknob, and then the bottom part of this, it's collapsible. It's adjustable. And you put the brace underneath the doorknob, and you lower it to the floor, and make sure it's kind of snug. You can read the instructions if you ever get one. It's called a buddy bar. And there's actually a lever that goes click, 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 click. It's a ratcheting lever that if you tighten it too much, you'd rip your doorknob off. But once this thing is put on, and it takes less than 10 seconds to put it on and lock it into position, there's nobody coming in that front door unless they physically destroy the whole door and frame. They're portable. You can carry them around with you. Go on eBay. You can find them, Buddy Bar. So that's your front door. Now, that buddy bar will work on any door. It doesn't matter. The problem is a lot of people just don't really pay attention to this kind of stuff. Like say they got a door going into the garage. They might even have a house door, which is hollow. Somebody could hit that door with their fist and it would fly open. So you've got to use common sense in whenever you're beefing up any kind of security system, and that's especially for the house. Another thing you can put in that door are hinge screws, longer screws, these ones I told you, these 4-inch deck screws I told you to put into your frame. You use those also for your hinge when you mount your hinge into the frame. You've got to be careful with these things. If you go to tighten these things down, it will deform your door. So you got to just snug them down and then adjust them carefully as you tighten all these screws. So you're going to have screws on both sides of the door frame and the top of the door frame and in the hinges. This door ain't coming open, not unless somebody hits it with a truck. And I've got houses I've had that you hit it with a truck, yet the truck's going to bounce off. So these are some minor things on windows and doors that everybody needs to pay attention to. There's a lot more to this. And if you wanted to, you could go on YouTube and just do a search for securing my door and windows or making doors and windows more secure. There's all kinds of gizmos you can buy. There's all kinds of other things, but I'm cheap. And that's why I gave you the cheap ways to do this thing. All right, now I'm going to talk about some more security. This is a different type of security. We're going to expand this security concept just a little bit more. Let's say you don't live on the street. Let's say you're back. You're back a ways. Maybe you got a driveway. Maybe the driveway is 50 feet. Maybe it's 100 feet. Maybe it's a quarter mile. You can get something called a driveway alert. Now, this runs on batteries, and I'm sure if you wanted to, and if there was power at the beginning of your driveway, you could hook this thing up to run on 12 volt. But a driveway alert is basically a motion detector. Something crosses it, you have a receiver, which is separate from the driveway alert. And at some of these driveway alerts, the receiver will go, it'll go 100 yards. Some it's just 100 feet. So you got to figure out which kind you need and how much money you want to spend. You hook those up. Anything that crosses that beam, it sets the alarm off. So you get a little bit of warning. You can also... other things, and this is my great-grandmother used to use turkeys as guards. You know, you always hear somebody say, oh, you get a good big dog. You get a turkey or a sheep. Not two sheep, one sheep. You just get one sheep or a turkey. Those things are crazy. The damn sheep used to attack us every time we come up to the hill from my great-grandma. You can put gates up there. You can have a chain across the gates. You can put... like up here in Idaho, a lot of the stores, because people are kind of stupid and they drive through the windows, so they put they're 8 feet long steel poles and they drop them about 4 feet into the ground and then they seat them with concrete. Nothing's going to take that out. Nothing's going to bend it because they're 4 feet, 4 inches diameter. And they put these in front of the businesses, or they put them in front of gas meters and that kind of thing. That's something to think about. Your situation is going to be different than my situation, so you're going to have to do different ways to do it. I've even had clients that would build a moat. Literally, they build a moat and they have a bridge that lowers, and the cars can drive across that. That was interesting. In your house, outside of your house, you have to look at your perimeter as best you can. Now, if you're going to be... Now, I'm talking to you guys that live in a city. Maybe not downtown where everything's concrete. Maybe just out in the side areas, right? Where people have houses, not apartments. You look around your house, make sure there's no plants, hedges, bushes, anything where people can hide against your house. So that is a thing. People will come and they'll get against your house between the bushes and the wall, and they will wait for their moment, and then they will try and break into your house. Or they will walk, or they will sneak along your house being blocked by all the bushes and such you have around there. To clear it away. I know it looks pretty, but at this stage of the game, security is going to be paramount. You've got to really look at protecting yourself. Make sure that all of your doors, by the way, all of your doors close properly. And all of your doors are sealed properly. To get an idea if your door is sealed, wait till it's pitch black outside. Turn all the lights on inside and then stand out in front of your house looking at your door. Go up on your toes, go down on your knees, look, see, can you see any light coming through that door? The framework, the stops alongside on the frames. Now, here's something else. Some doors aren't steel frames, they're just wood frames, and they build them in some factory and they throw them out as quickly as they can. So the stops, this is like a quarter inch by 1.5 inch that's along the edge of the frame that the door stops on. Sometimes those aren't nailed tight. They're just tacked down. So you can actually see light between them. So make sure everything's tight, everything's tacked down, and light cannot be seen around your door. And for that matter, the same thing with your windows. You really want to be careful. What I'm leading up to is a dark out. You want to be able to darken your house so that people can't see that you have lights on, so that people don't know that you're there. In an emergency situation, a grid down situation, a Schumer hit the fan situation, the criminals will be grouping up into gangs and they will be hunting. And usually they hunt at night because that's when they can see the lights. And if you have lights, you might have other stuff that they want. So you need to make sure that whatever kind of window coverings you have, curtains, even sheets, even blankets, even whatever, make sure that they're good enough to block out all light. Now, here's one other thing you can do on windows. And we've done this many times. When we had our gun shops, and I was a master gunsmith for 25 years, we are the only gun shop in the state of California that had never been broken into. Now, that sounds astounding, but it is true. We were the only gun shop in the state of California that had never been broken into, and the reason is I had steel bars everywhere. And I didn't pay someone to make them. I made them myself, and here's how I did it. I went and got steel rebar, and I got 2x4 frames. I made a 2x4 frame that fits just snug right into the window. And then what I did was I drilled holes, and you'll have to offset some of these holes, that I could slide the rebar in horizontally and vertically. And all of a sudden, I've got bars. And then what I did was wherever the bars crossed, I tack welded. And then I slipped that into the framework of the window, and then I, using the 4-inch deck screws, I put about a dozen of them in, or more, depending on the window. Yeah, somebody could defeat that. They'd have to break the window. They'd have to throw a chain around these things and drag them out with a car. But that takes a lot of work and makes a lot of noise. So this is how you do if you want some quick bars for your windows. You can remove them too, and we did. We'd pull them out. You just unscrew those screws. Now, on one of them, a large window, once we put the screws in, I took a quarter-inch drill bit and just kind of smoothed out so that nobody can use a screwdriver again to take the screws out. I mean, it was a permanent mount at that point. Another thing you can do on windows, this is if you're... And they do this up in the mountains. I know they do this up in Kuiper's area, Placerville area. People buy cabins and then live in them during the summer. And then when winter starts, they shut them down and go away. Well, what they do to stop people from breaking in is they beef the door up. They're going to put steel doors on there, definitely. And on the windows, they get handy board or hardy board. This is, or concrete board, they call it. It's hard. Try putting a nail through the damn thing, and you'll bend in every single nail. You have to pre-drill a hole to put a nail in. And it's a 4x8 sheet. And what they would do is that they would cut these to fit in the windows. And then they would put these 4-inch screws in. And there's many different ways you can do this. You can do it from the inside. There's no way anybody's going to drill out those screws then. But unfortunately, that makes your windows vulnerable. So most of them do it from the outside. but you board up your windows, and it's not plywood. It's way harder than that. Way harder. Now, a lot of basement windows, especially up here, a lot of basement windows have casements. This is a steel half circle that comes out from the wall of the house so that you have some space where the space the basement window is, and you could open the window and plant flowers there if you wanted to. Okay, you can buy covers for the casement windows. These are covers for the casement. They not only insulate, but they help keep the rain and snow out, and they make it harder for criminals to enter. See, that's a window, right? That's a window down in the basement. They can kick it out. And people up here have also just taken plywood and made a cover for those casements so that they can't come off. I mean, they've gone crazy with some of this stuff. And by the way, if you ever wanted to secure your home totally, so no casement windows, literally cut a piece of plywood, lean it against the window on the outside, the basement window, pull out the casement, and fill the hole in with dirt. It will totally hide any windows that you have in the basement. Now, you have these casement windows go all the way around your house. If you have one under your deck where no one's going to see, you might want to leave that one accessible so that you can get air into the house if you have to. Now, there's going to be way more, again. There always is. There's way more than just what I've told you about just hardening your entrances and windows just a little bit. So now I want to get into what I call common sense security. This is the stuff that makes your life a little easier to live and to where you don't get some shock that it will just totally ruin your day or week or month. This is called common sense security. Like a car or a vehicle, don't leave it running unless somebody's in it. That's just the basic rule for common sense. I've told this story before. When we first moved up here in 99, I was Kmart, which is out of business now. I was at Kmart, and there was a couple cop cars and a couple cops taking a report from this guy. He was about 70 years old. And he was at the front entrance of Kmart, and I wanted to hear what was going on. And he said, yeah, someone stole my motorhome from out in the parking lot. I just bought it. So we got a lot of motorhome places up here, RV places. And a cop asked him, well, what'd you have? And he explained it to him. And he says, where were you parked? And he goes, well, I was all the way out there. I was all the way out there. I wanted to be as far away as possible so my generator didn't bother anybody. The cop looked at him and said, what do you mean your generator? Yeah, the battery was almost dead. So I left the generator running. And he goes, I made sure I had it in park. And the cop looked at him and said, what do you mean? Well, I left it in park. I was running the generator to charge up the coach batteries. And I was running the engine to charge up the battery for the driving part. And I had to make sure it's charged up because I'm going to Canada. And the cops looked at each other and said, are you telling me that you left your vehicle running in the parking lot? He said, yeah, but I locked the door. And the cops said, look, we'll do a file for this and turn it in. But the problem is we can't claim it stolen because you left it running in the parking lot about 500 feet away from the front door. See, this is where stupid comes in. In fact, some of the people in Idaho are so stupid that they actually had to pay. They actually passed a law that it's against the law to leave your vehicle running unattended. It's against the law. I'm at a little 7-Eleven store. This is 7 in the morning, and people pulling up, getting gas or getting coffee and stuff like that. And I'm in line. And there's 8 people in line, and this guy comes in and he gets to the end of the line, and then he starts yelling and cussing. And he goes running out the door. And I looked out there, and the truck he just drove in on was a diesel truck. He had left running. Somebody jumped in and drove off. That is one of the definitions of stupid. So you don't leave your car running unless somebody's right around there paying attention. I mean, in Idaho, they'll go as far as ticketing you out front of your house. If you leave your vehicle parked on the street and it's running, they'll ticket you. Another thing about cars. All the time I'm seeing these cars parked up here, and these are all Californians. And that's a problem up here. It's you know, like some kind, it's like virus. They come up here and they destroy everything that they touch or come near. They get these beautiful cars and they park them in the parking lot, and because it's so hot, they leave the windows down. Then they wonder why their car's gone. Or they wonder why somebody's sleeping in their car. Or somebody poured a gallon of paint in their front seat. There's all kinds of weird crap that goes on up here, I'm telling you right now. Or the people who leave their valuables, or the woman that leaves her purse in the seat of her car. Going to get gas. Takes some money out of her purse, puts her purse on the seat of her car, closes the car, and walks into the store. Somebody reaches over, picks up the purse, off they go. You know those little magnetic key holders? Don't use them, because criminals know about them. People who live next door to us, they got some typical dim-witted millennial children. So one of them decides to park his car in front of my house. I don't mind if it's only going to be there for a few hours, because we park there. But the car was there for 2 days. And I went next door and said, hey, why is his car parked here? Oh, he went back to college, and that's where he parked it. I said, well, you got to move it, because I got to park my truck out there. She says, well, he didn't leave the key. Took me 30 seconds. And I found the key that he had hidden in a magnetic box under the bumper. Got in the car, drove it, parked it in front of their house. They never did that again. So there again, there's some common sense things. Like, never open the trunk to your car or the back to your SUV or the hatch, and open a briefcase and take money out of it, or transfer things into where people can see. Because, you know, if something can go bad, it will. This is the kind of attitude that you have to have. If something can go bad, it will. So your job is to make sure that everything you do is to make sure it doesn't happen. And speaking of cars, don't leave any of your important information in a vehicle. Ever. And for God's sakes, don't you ever leave an animal or a child in a vehicle when it's running and you're not there. Or even when it's not running. We were at the casino one night. 8 degrees outside. And parked the car. I'm walking in the front door and I'm hearing dogs bark. I go, what? I go out there, and in a handicapped spot was a Cadillac, and it had two Chihuahuas in it with the windows down about an inch. It's 8 degrees outside. To make an embarrassing story for the man short, we made an announcement on the intercom, and he got chased out of the casino. It is an actual felony in the state of Idaho and Washington to leave animals or humans, not just children, humans, in a vehicle unattended when the weather is dangerous. Too hot, too cold. But every year, someone's going to die. Every damn year, some dimwit leaves his 8-month-old child in a baby seat in the back seat while he goes into a bar for 2 hours. All right, so now you're going to go into a restaurant or a shop. You're going shopping, going in a restaurant. You're going to eat. Well, don't leave your car unlocked. This is a reoccurring theme here. Don't leave your car unlocked. Don't leave your house unlocked. Now, when I say don't leave it unlocked, that doesn't mean turn the key and walk off. That means turn the key and check the lock. There's been many times when I thought I've locked the door, and then when I went to check it, that key hadn't gone all the way over, so it wasn't locked. You know, I've been guilty of it. One time we close the store here on Saturday night and don't open again until Tuesday morning. We come to work, front door's open. Now, it's not open, it's unlocked. Front door's unlocked. But thank God nobody decided to test it. That was my one time that I was allowed to make a screw up like that. Now, when you're going shopping, okay, don't leave your purse sitting in the baby seat there, wide open, and then walk off. This is a very stupid thing that some women do. My wife and I are in Albertsons. We come down this aisle. In the middle of this aisle is a cart with nothing in it except a purse wide open. So my wife picks it up and takes it to Lost and Found and said some idiot left this in the middle of the aisle in a cart. I don't even know if the woman came back. I have no idea because we left. This is very stupid. People do this all the time. Not people, women. They do it all the time. So hang on to it. Hang on to your purse. Or have somebody watching it. Never leave it unattended. Good God. You know, there is classes now called adulting, which actually teach you some of this stuff. Now, when you go to restaurants, one of the problems that people have, especially women, again, we're back to women, damn, they put their purses anywhere. They'll put them on the floor. They'll put them between their legs. They hang them off their chair. I've seen this where they hang them on their chair in a busy restaurant. People walking by hitting their purse. You don't know if somebody took something out of there. When you give in a restaurant, when you give somebody your credit card to pay for it, always, at all times, be aware of where that card is. Never let them take it and disappear out back. Always know where your card is. We have a customer here every week, a different customer that comes in a store that says, yeah, my card was compromised. I had to get a new credit card, because somehow the number got out. And it takes me just, you know, 5-10 minutes to talk to them and figure out what happened. And most of the time, it's they give it to a clerk who disappears with it for even a second and then comes back. You know how long it takes for a cell phone to go click, click, have a picture of the front of the card, picture of the back of the card. They got all of it now, all of it. Be very careful when you're using your credit card out there. Now, when you're getting gas, there are skimmers, they call them, that can fit on the outside of a gas pump that you can't tell. If you slip your credit card in, it'll read it. So if you're going to use your credit card to pay for gas at the pump, where you slip it in, wiggle it. Wiggle the mount where the credit card will be slipping in. Sometimes that thing will fall off. And at that point, you go inside and you tell them. Now, back to your house. Now, what we're talking about here is common sense security. When you leave your house, never leave your curtains open. You're going to always lock your doors. Never leave your curtains open. Close your windows, all your windows. There's two thoughts on this window curtain thing. The people next door to us believe, no, when we leave, we want to open our curtains so everybody can see that there's nobody here. And I look, he told me this, right? So I look at him and said, so the guy that wants to break into your house, he looks in there and goes, oh, might as well come through the back door. There's nobody in the front. Don't leave your curtains open. If you're going to leave for some time, a couple days, a week, stop the mail delivery, stop the paper delivery. They put it on hold. They always do. Leave some lights on. You know, there's these cool little gizmos you can buy that plug in the wall. These are timers. And they turn things on and turn things off. I've got one that I've used for years and years and years. Plug it in the wall, hook it to the stereo. And at 6 o'clock, it turns the stereo on. Not loud, just loud enough that anybody who walks up to the house is going to hear it. And then at 4 in the morning, it turns it off. Not when I'm staying there. That would drive me crazy. And by the way, never pay up front. for these gardening or roofing services, or let me resurface your asphalt, or any of these things. Never pay up front. Never, never, never. No excuses, no nothing. This, make this a policy in life. You never pay up front for services. Now we'll go to the internet. And we're talking about, I presume, your house. We do the same thing here at the store. You have a router. You have, I don't care how you get your internet. First, it's going to come in to a modem. And you either have a router that you hook to the modem. And what the router does is routes internet service to any place you want in your house. Or some modems are a router. But a router, what it does, router takes that feed that comes into the modem, and it feeds it out all over. You can either do, it'll feed it out wirelessly, or it'll feed it out on a LAN cable. You have to make damn sure that you have all security protocols that you can active on your router. You set up passwords. It's self-explanatory. You can, whatever router you're using, it'll tell you. You can read it, the information. You can log into it. And you can set up passwords for that. Now, like my router, one of the routers that I use, it tells me who is on there. It tells me what address, what MAC address each of the items are that are accessing. It could be a tablet, it could be a cell phone, it could be a smart TV, it could be the stereo, it could be my computer, it could be anything. And I have the ability to determine whether or not that item can be on there. Sometimes you would look and you see there's two cell phones on my system that I didn't allow on. Boom, I can block them. So you can do security on your router two ways. One, blocking everything. Or two, only allowing specific items to access your router. And that's what we do. We only allow certain things. And you can program this into your router. And that handles all kinds of problems. Years ago, my son and I were driving in Los Angeles. And I needed to make a phone call. And I didn't have a cell phone. This is years ago. But I had Vonage. Vonage is a voice over internet protocol. But I had, and it was cool. I had this phone, this handheld unit. It was a internet unit, but I had to have internet before it would work. So all we did was drive down a residential street until all of a sudden the phone picked up an unsecure router. Boom. I made my phone call, disconnected, drove off. That's what people can do. Hell, where we were over on Dalton Avenue, there were traders behind us. One day, I hear sirens and I look back there, and there was a dozen MIBs, men in black, going up to this one trader, pounding on the door. And the guy comes out and he's disabled. He's about 40 years old. He's in his pajamas with his bunny slippers on. And he's like, what's going on? Well, what turned out was that somebody had hacked into his router. Not hacked. They just walked in because he didn't have it secured. And it might have been one of the other traders. But this guy was using his router to look at child porn and to download child porn. So he's freaking out. He thinks his life is over. He's going to jail. And no, they didn't. As soon as they figured out what had happened, they taught him how to secure his router. Now, on the internet, there's a lot of things, and you heard me talk about hope porn that the CIA is feeding everybody. There's a lot of crap on the internet that you're going to come up with. And there's a lot of hoaxes, and there's a lot of fraud, especially hoaxes. Somebody claims that something's happening somewhere, and then they post it on their Facebook page, and 20,000 people pick it up and pass it all over the world, and people start believing it, and it's just, it's bogus. You track it back. If you're going to do yourself and everybody you know a favor, if you're going to post anything, check its validity first. You don't need to spread misinformation. And when I use the term misinformation, I'm using it real. I'm using it not as a communist would, but as a human would. You don't need to pass misinformation. So make sure you know what the hell you're talking about. Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, the UN, American Express. No, you've never won any of their lotteries. They're not going to pay you any money for the problems that you've had. There's nothing. That's not real. None of that. There's nobody in Nigeria. There is nobody in Nigeria that's going to give you all kinds of billions of dollars. Yeah. So use common sense. The majority of this stuff is common sense. And it just, here's something for you. A couple rules that I live by. Number one, all full paid ads in newspapers are scams. All ads that infer government approval on some, either a drug or a nutritional product or coins or anything else, are scams. And everything that says limited availability is a scam. That's just rules that I have. Another rule I have is if there's no price marked on something that's marked for sale, it's because the owner is too ashamed that he's going to rip somebody off, and that's why he doesn't want to post the price. So if you see a sign in a car that says for sale and a phone number, no price, I guarantee you the guy's going to try and rip you off. This is how it works. It's just how it works. Like I go on Craigslist and I look at homes for sale, property for sale, and I see these ads where they use all the right buzzwords and they talk all about, this is great place, it's got good curb appeal, great lighting, blah, 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 and nowhere does it say the price. It's what we used to call, when I was a gun dealer, an idiot sale. And what an idiot sale is not just in guns or houses, it's in anything. They're waiting for the idiot to come up here and buy it. Up here, we got a lot of idiots. You know, last year, houses, give you an example. A friend of mine had a house. He wanted to sell it for $259,000 or so. He decided not to sell it. And now he comes in, he goes, I got $417,000 for it. These idiots from California and Seattle and Portland, from the communist countries over there, they want the hell out. Unfortunately, not because of politics. They want the hell out because they're tired of the taxes and they're tired of being assaulted by communists that march down the street. So they come here. So the commies are moving here with their communist attitudes, and they're going to change this place and destroy it just like they have every other location in the United States that they've gone to when they're escaping from what's going on. Now, some other things about just common sense security. And this is for you guys that who misplace your wallet, women who misplace their purse, credit cards. You know, nowadays people don't even use wallets. They don't even use purses sometimes. They just have this little container, or they have a little slot on their cell phone where their debit card can go in, and they lose them. Okay. Here's the rule of thumb. If you think that your credit card or debit card has gotten in somebody else's hand, call up the bank and cancel it immediately. I recommend you have only one credit card and only one debit card. That way you don't have to worry about, well, I got six cards. Which one of my is did I lose or should I call up on? If you lose your credit card, you misplace your debit card, your credit card, if you leave it someplace, if you can't get your hands on it, immediately cancel it. Or just cancel it anyway. Call up the bank and say, I lost my card. And they'll put a lock on your account immediately. One of the things that I do is I buy stuff on the internet. Nobody else does, right? No, everybody does. So I have one bank account that I have. One that I use for internet sales. And this is just a checking account with a debit card, and I might have a couple hundred bucks in there, and that's it. I have whatever I think I'm going to need, whatever kind of gizmos and stuff I'm going to buy. So if my card gets nailed somehow on the internet, I'm not out that much. If you don't have a shredder, a paper shredder in your house, you need to get one. You need to have one. Hell, it's so important up here. Once a year, they have Shred Day in Washington and Idaho. Giant commercial trucks. These are Clinton-sized shredding trucks. You put everything you want to shred in a big bag. I mean, it's the size of a duffel bag. You take it there, throw it in, it is destroyed. But if you don't have one of those, get a shredder. Shred everything that has any of your personal information in any way, shape, or form. One of the things that criminals do is go through garbage. And if you're like us, let's say garbage is on Friday, Thursday night, you're going to roll your garbage can out there. And you don't even think about it until the next morning after the garbage truck has come. Meanwhile, people can go through your garbage. It doesn't take long. And they look for all kinds of stuff. This is big. These little things, each one of these things that I've said to you, each one, if you were to go online and do a search for credit cards lost and used, or people digging through garbage and finding social security numbers, credit card numbers, credit cards. Say, oh, this one's bad, throw it away. Now, when you are talking to people on the phone, never give your social security number on a phone. Rule of thumb. I have even done that to and said that to the Social Security Administration. I mean, I call it up and I call them up and I want to talk to them about something or other. And they say, well, what's your social security number? I said, is anybody actually stupid enough to give you that over the phone? Oh, yeah, all the time. I don't. I give them the last four numbers and that's it. See, people don't understand what I can do with a social security number. And when you return an item to a store, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, they all pull the same thing. Well, we need your social security number. No. Well, we need your driver's license number. No. Remember this. Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, you name it. Every single big box store has been hacked. Every single one. So if you've ever given them your private information, it's out there in the wind. Just do not allow them to put your personal data on their computer because they've already been hacked. If they have a problem with that, call the manager and complain. Say, this is a violation of my privacy. I'm not putting any of my information on there. Now, if you paid for a credit card, you paid for something with a credit card, they will ask to see your driver's license sometimes to verify that you're the guy that did this. So you just, common sense. Now, I've got one other thing that I'm going to talk to you about real quick. This is, I was astounded when I saw this. Okay? I grew up when people actually paid attention to life, generally. I grew up when things that were happening around you, you could actually see and understand. It's called situational awareness. And I didn't think I'd ever see this, but the Department of the Army came out with a manual. It's not secret. It's released for the public if they want it, and most of them don't give a damn. It's approved for public distribution. It is Advanced Situational Awareness. Now, I'm going to read you the title of some of these things, some of these chapters. This is all stuff I grew up with. I never had to be taught this. And this shocked me when I saw this. Skill refinement for situational awareness, predictive profiling, critical thinking and diligent observation, accurate reporting, communication, cultural awareness, performance enhancement and resilience, advanced situational awareness multipliers, social awareness, and self-analysis. And then they have part two, the five senses. I'm literally astounded at what this has. Now, it's a PDF, and it's big. It is big. It is not a lightweight, small PDF. Let me see if I can tell you how many pages it is. I think it's over 300. Oh, yeah. It's well over 300 pages. I am going to post it so you can download it. If you want to expand your horizon, and I'm not exaggerating, this is going to give you the information. I'm going to read it again. This is going to give you the information that you need so that you can properly understand and see what's happening around you. The situational awareness is something that's used by every security agency on earth and everybody who's trained in security. It teach you to use your situational awareness. But now they have a book on it. So now you need to read the book, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to put it on my website and get it all handled so that you can download this thing. I'm astounded that they've allowed our society to sink to the depths where we don't even know what situational awareness is. We don't even know what awareness is. People go through life just being the victim of life. Now, when I say victim in this case, I'm not talking about in a bad way. They're the result of life. They are the effect of what happens all over, around them, above them, under them, to them. People don't think that what's happening has anything to do with them. They just happen to get caught up in it. And I see this all the time. Somebody's walking downtown. And this is in Coeur d'Alene. This is about 8 o'clock at night. And in downtown Coeur d'Alene, there's a lot of clubs, a lot of bars, a lot of coffee shops, a lot of things that can take your money. Walking downtown, and all of a sudden, three guys come up and beat the crap out of somebody. And then the three guys take off. And when the police come and say, well, did you recognize any of them? No, I can't. I don't know what they look like. What do you mean don't know what they look like? Well, it happened so quick, I wasn't paying attention. What the hell were you doing? These kind of things happen. You know, you get in an accident and you can't remember anything because you weren't aware. My brother, when he was a kid, had a Volkswagen Bug. Middle of the day, he's driving down Stockton Boulevard, doing about 60. He hits something, goes over it, and then, and I quote, it ran off. I said, Steve, what did you hit? I don't know. What the hell do you mean you don't know? Weren't you aware around you when you were driving? Well, yeah. Really? So you hit something, and it ran off. Was it a human? I don't think so. Was it a dog? A wolf? How about a bear? Was it a horse? Was it a deer? To this day, he doesn't know. I don't know. I have no idea what happened. So you have to pay attention. Life is a participation sport. You can't just sit there and say, oh, this happened to me. Oh, and I had no clue it was going to happen. Most of the things that happen to people that are bad, they could see that they could see it coming. They could see what was happening. You know, you don't go into, well, I did. When I was younger, I used to do it on purpose. I'd go into a black bar in Oakland just to get in a fight. If you haven't figured it out now yet, I'm not black. But you don't do these things. You don't do that. You don't yell fire in a crowded theater. You don't walk through the airport and then in a loud voice say, boy, I hope they don't catch me with this bomb I have. That's not a joke. And I had an idiot friend that did that to me. He had a couple security guards pull him aside and have a word with him. So you know what? You don't do these. Don't do the stupid things. What's that old Jewish saying? If you don't want your head bit off, don't stick it in a lion's mouth. Unless you think you can dull his teeth by chomping down on your hard head. Well, I'm going to go. You guys, pay attention to what's going on out there. And this is what I've been saying, situational awareness. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. What do you think that means? That means pay attention. People don't pay attention. They get lackadaisical, and then crap happens. And then they're surprised when it happens. You don't need to be surprised. You listen to people like me that says, don't do this, but do this. And then, you know, use some common sense. Think about it. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I don't want anything bad to happen to anyone unless they're trying to do something bad. So you keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. Pay attention to what's going on, and I'll see you later.